Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
From the WEEI studios.
Brought to you by DuckDuckGo. Privacy simplified.
Let's go Celtics. 93.7 WEEI FM and HD1. Lawrence, Boston. An Odyssey station.
This hour of the Brian Barrett Show is brought to you by Shaw's. Shaw's, the official supermarket of the Red Sox Network.
Time now for the Brian Barrett Show on WEEI.
All right, welcome back in. After that debacle at the Garden last night, the Celtics outscored 28-19 in the fourth quarter, 107-97. The lack of anything offensively in that fourth quarter, especially at the very end of the fourth quarter, was an absolute disaster. Celtics just could not figure it out late in the game. In fact, in that fourth quarter, they had an 86.4 offensive rating, a 133.3 defensive rating. So that's a negative 46.9 rating. That's points per 100 possession. They were absolutely dominated in the fourth quarter, a quarter that they had owned in this series up until this game. It was a dumpster fire last night. So a lot on the table as it pertains to that loss. What do you need to see from Jason Tatum coming up on Monday night? And do you have faith that this Celtics team will bounce back after a loss? They've done it all postseason long, but is this when it finally catches up to them? 617-779-7937, the number. Let's get to Jack. Jack's in Boston. What's up, Jack?
Hey, Brian. So in terms of what Jason Tatum, I mean, I will say that, the guy is definitely a superstar. Disappointing last night in the end of the fourth quarter, where it didn't appear that either he or Jaylen Brown wanted the ball in their hands. Tatum's going to be the guy that he was against Giannis, where basically it's like he is the number one option, and everything runs through him. I also got to say, too, Ime Udoka, he's got to game plan better. He's got to coach better. But you got to basically set up Jason so that, I mean, he's the number one, number two option. And if it's not there, then you're looking at Jaylen Brown. But two guys that should not be shooting, Derek White and Marcus Smart. I mean, when Marcus Smart and Derek White are taking more three-pointers than Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, you're never going to win a series like that. So I have confidence, but Jason's got to make quick. He's got to make quick decisions, and it's basically, I mean, what I would say is basically right from the get-go, shooting threes, shooting twos, doing. I mean, he played phenomenal against Giannis. I will also say you got to cut Jason a little bit of a break. He covered. He not only is the number one scorer for the Celtics, but defensively he took on KD.
Yep.
He took on Giannis. Took on Jimmy Butler. You know, Steph Curry doesn't do that. Nobody on the other side ever does that. Even when Bird was playing, he never covered. He wasn't covering their number one offensive player on the other side.
Right. So, it's a Kawhi Leonard like thing.
Yeah. Exactly. So, anyways, have props. I'll let you go. Great show. Thank you.
I appreciate it, Jack. His line's open if you want to grab it at 617-779-7937. I actually felt like they did do some things for Tatum in terms of getting him easy opportunities last night. One of the things that they were doing is essentially they were using off-the-ball screens to get the ball to Tatum, where they were having Tatum run off whoever Jordan Poole or Steph Curry was covering to try to get him on that switch. And they did it several times. And early on in the game, it really worked for both him and Jaylen Brown. They got to the basket. They hit a couple of floaters that way. But overall, they got into the paint, et cetera. But overall, if you just look at the totality of it last night, it felt like, okay, the first quarter they had a good idea of what they wanted to do from an offensive perspective, but then it just completely went away in the fourth quarter. It felt like the team was just not ready in that particular fourth quarter, and they survived the third quarter avalanche, which is what you're always concerned about against the Warriors. Now, the Warriors still won that quarter, 30-24, but it felt like, all right, after that, the Celtics survived the haymaker that the Warriors are going to throw. They're going to be able to take this thing in the fourth quarter. And it felt that way for the majority of the fourth quarter until you got about 4 minutes left in the game, and the Celtics just did not generate any good shots whatsoever. I did feel like Tatum last night, though, he was a little indecisive compared to where he was at in game three. And the shots that he was taking are not the shots that I loved. So, for example, in that game four, Tatum took three attempts in the restricted area. He only got to the restricted area three times. In game three, he got there eight times. So he took, in that game last night, 12 two-pointers outside of the restricted area, so floater range, mid-range. In game three, he took just six attempts from floater range and mid-range. So six more attempts from twos outside of the restricted area last night, juxtaposed that to what he did in game three. And here's the thing. What Tatum is doing is he is playing into what the Warriors want him to do. When he's taking shots from floater range and taking shots from the mid-range, those are the shots that the Warriors want Tatum to take. Tatum shot 37% from mid-range this season, which isn't that great, obviously. And the other thing that it does is it's not an efficient shot either. So you're shooting 37% on a two-pointer instead of a three-pointer. The Warriors are going to live with that. And here's the other thing about Tatum last night. So he is now 0 of 5 on pull-up twos in the game last night. 0 of 5 last night. And on the series, he is now 0 of 16 on pull-up twos. So the Warriors are forcing him to take those pull-up mid-rangers, so to speak. They don't want him to take the pull-up threes. On pull-up threes, he is 7 of 16. He has been really good on pull-up threes. But the issue is he is taking pull-up twos all the time, 16 of them in the series, 5 last night, and he's bricking them. So he is actually doing what the Warriors want him to do. So this whole idea, I know people get crazy about, oh, he's taking too many threes. I'd rather him take more threes and take more shots at the basket. He is not great in the mid-range. He is not great from floater range. He needs to play the analytical game. Get to the free throw line, get to the basket, or hit threes. He can't be taking these pull-up twos because he's not hitting them. 617-779-7937 the number. Let's get to Jesse in New Bedford. Hey, Jesse.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Good. A couple things. The first thing is this team doesn't have a true ball handle, a point guard, and I think that hurts them. The second thing is, which I think is the biggest thing, is I know a lot of people are on the Tatum train and all that, but I've been like this from the start. I don't see it with Tatum or Brown, a little bit more Brown than Tatum. I don't see that killer instinct, that it factor, that heart. You know what I mean? Like, when it, you can see heart. Like, Mac Jones, he has heart. You know, Brady had heart. I don't see that. I see a guy.
Wait, hold on, Jesse. Jesse, hold on. What? Mac Jones has heart, but Tatum doesn't? I mean, come on.
Every time he goes to the hoop, he's holding his arm, his knee,
okay,
his elbow,
Jesse,
something hurt.
Jesse, can I ask you a question? Jesse, hold on. Hey, hold on. Can I ask you a question? Do you think that Jason Tatum had heart in game six against Milwaukee when he hung 46 on Giannis and that crew?
Listen, he's a very talented player, but of course he's going to score a lot of points, but is he going to win you a championship? Look what keeps happening.
He's two wins away, Jesse. What do you mean, is he going to win you a championship? He's two wins away. You're giving me this comparison to Mac Jones.
They will lose in game seven. He will not kneel in the coffin. They will choke. He'll dribble off his foot. They'll do something to lose the game. This team has no heart, no desire.
Jesse, you're illustrating all these things that haven't happened yet, and you're telling me that you know Mac Jones has heart. He's done nothing in the NFL. Jason Tatum. What do you mean you can just tell? Could you tell in the Bills game? Like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Mark my words, Mac Jones is going to have a great season this year. Everybody's down on the offense. We need a coach. Listen, Belichick's his coach. We'll be fine. The Patriots will overachieve because this team, this town is always so down on the Patriots. Any little thing, we knock them for it. But we give all these excuses for the poor little Celtics victimhood. Tatum is a choker. This team is a choker, and they will lose.
Yeah, I'm with you, Jesse. He choked in game six against the Bucks. I mean, come on. That's an idiotic comment. We're comparing Mac Jones to Jason Tatum. Jason Tatum is two wins away from being the best player on a championship team at the age of 24. Mac Jones is a rookie in the NFL last season. He was fine. This isn't an indictment on Mac Jones, but to say that Mac Jones has heart and Tatum doesn't, that's ridiculous. I just told you how I don't like how Tatum's playing that series. I've illustrated. I don't like the shots he's taking. But to point out that Mac Jones has heart and Tatum doesn't, that is an idiotic comment that you cannot possibly equate. You think Tatum wants to lose the series? Like, come on. Let's get to Dan and Needham. What's up, Dan?
Hey, how are you?
Good.
Sorry, I think it came off Bluetooth. I'm on Bluetooth. Two things. You and I have talked about this all season. I've seen 70% of the games. Three-point defense. Haven't called you now, but three-point defense has been an issue for them, and they're playing the wrong team when your three-point defense doesn't excel. I feel like Milwaukee's coach set up this whole new NBA, which is we're going to pick a couple guys that have a low percentage shot chance from three, and then we're just not going to guard them. And I feel like that has gotten into the NBA as a strategy, and their three-point defense, I think, will be the difference. And my second point's about Jaylen Brown, but I'll let you respond to the first.
Well, in the regular season, they were first in the NBA in three-point defense.
From the second half, from the last 20 games, but the first
no, the
half,
whole season, the whole game. Season, the whole season, the okay, Celtics were the number one team against the three this year. Team shot 33.7. Well, that was number one in the NBA.
But when they lost, it was always because of the three-point defense. I've looked at team statistics.
I'm just telling you that they were the best team defending the three this season. I'm telling you, those are the numbers.
I got you. I'm not talking about Mac Jones. I'm not getting into a fight. I just said when they lose, they usually lose by their three-point defense. When they lose.
Dan, I understand the concern because Curry's going off from three, but I would say the bigger concern in terms of when they lose, it's their freaking turnovers.
Oh, yeah, of course. 16, 17, they're not going to survive.
Yep.
Of course. The second point I wanted to make was Jaylen Brown.
Yep.
This is more gut, but it's a thing of I think that sometimes a coach has got to make the call and give the ball to the hot hand. He's comfortable in the Warriors arena. He played at Cal. He looked great there the other night. He seems to be scoring. I think there's a point where coach may have to say he's our number one option. I just think that Brown's feeling it, and I'd love to see him get 29 shots a game.
Oh, that's a fair point.
I wanted to hear your thoughts.
Yeah, that's a fair point. So you want them to basically run more stuff through Jaylen. Now, it does feel like, Dan, and maybe you have the same observation as me or maybe different, it feels like in the first quarter of these games, they try to get Jaylen going. Jaylen was 10th in the NBA this year in terms of his first quarter scoring average. It feels like they get him going early, but sometimes now he's been good in the fourth quarter at times, but I'm not against that to try to get Jaylen more involved because I would say this too, Dan. He has the more favorable matchup. Like, Tatum is dealing with the
Absolutely.
Better defender, right? And look, they made the switch last Correct. Night to put Klay on Jaylen Brown. So, yeah, and Jaylen seems to be more confident in the series than Tatum. So, yeah, I'm with you on that.
I mean, I know this is on the softer side, but, you know, you heard the stories about he went over from Cal. He played against, Steph when he was in college on the floor. It was the old arena. But he just seems to be thriving back in Northern California. He looks great. He looks relaxed. I just think that, and he's shooting the ball well. You saw that crazy shot he made last night.
Yeah.
I think he needs to move back to option one.
It's a very fair point. I appreciate the call, my friend. It's a very fair point where Jaylen Brown, it feels like he is more confident right now than is Jason Tatum, despite the fact that he dribbled the ball off his foot last night and despite the fact that he just let the ball go out of bounds. But I do understand that point because, and I said coming into the series, I was doing a show with Mutt, I felt like Jaylen had a real opportunity to be the finals MVP because they don't have a guy that can deal with the explosiveness of Jaylen. Now, give credit to Klay Thompson last night, because in the fourth quarter, he actually turned up his defensive game, and he was able to stick with Jaylen a little bit in that fourth quarter. So that is something to monitor going forward, but I'm not opposed to that at all. I feel like Jaylen in this series, at times, they have had no answers for him from an athletic perspective. I would have no issue with giving Jaylen more opportunities and maybe trying to run some more set plays for him. All right, 617-779-7937, the number. Brian Barrett with you. So if you do want to weigh in on Jason Tatum, what's the biggest issue right now for the Celtics team? What does Tatum need to do better in terms of Game 5, Game 6, and a possible Game 7? Have you lost any faith in this team? Can they get this done? 617-779-7937. Oh, plus, we will get into the Marcus Smart comments about Jason Tatum. Brian Barrett with you on here on EI.
The Greg Hill Show, weekdays 6 to 10.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
The warm weather is here, and Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey is saying, screw it, let's shoot it, lick the salt, shoot the screwball, and finish it with an orange slice. Lick it, shoot it, screw it. Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey, please enjoy responsibly. Trending now on WEI and WEI.com. May have some of that tonight. Stiz, Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey.
Sounds delicious, Brian.
I've never had the peanut butter. I got to try this, man.
I've had it. It's delicious.
It's good?
It's delicious.
Nice, nice. Take about three shots of that. Get going. The NBA Finals now tied 2-2. The Warriors topped the Celtics 107-97 at the Garden last night. Golden State outscored the Seas 28-19 in the fourth. Steph Curry, 43. He hit seven threes. Jason Tatum, 23. But he was 8 of 23 from the field. Turned the ball over six times. Jaylen Brown, 21 points. Game 5, Monday night in San Francisco. The wine and cheese crowd. The Sox beat the Mariners 4-3 last night. Bobby Dalbec, J.D. Martinez each homered. Tanner Houck picked up his first save. Looked nasty out there. Rich Hill, 4 1/3, surrendering two earned. Both those runs coming via a two-run blast from Jesse Winker. The Sox and the Mariners play the second of their three-game set tonight in Seattle. It's a 10-10 first pitch across the Shaw's and Star Market, WEEI Red Sox Network. You can tune into the Visit Massachusetts pregame show at 9:10, sponsored by the Massachusetts Office of Travel and Tourism. I'll be with you on that one. Some Bobby Dalbec. Some Rich Hill stuff. Cannot wait for the Red Sox pregame. They are playing well. Michael Walker's on the mound tonight, who just pitched a complete game, by the way, earlier in the week. George Kirby goes for Seattle. That's what's trending now on WEI and WEI.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is the Brian Barrett Show on WEEI.
Yeah, we all are. We just constantly, you know, let them know, keep going. You know, this isn't your first time being in a slump. Won't be the last time. You got to figure it out. You know, we trust you. We believe in you. And this is what you made for. You know, and Jason has to figure it out. We have to do a good job of helping him. But, you know, him being the player he is, these are the moments where he has to come alive and he has to figure it out. And he will. You know, we don't know when that is, but we're sure it's going to happen soon and we're ready for it. And we're here to back him up.
All right. That was Marcus Smart after the game last night. And I got to tell you, I have a massive issue with what Marcus Smart said. Everything he said is right. I'm not denying that whatsoever. Clearly, we all know that Jason Tatum needs to play better. But Marcus Smart said three times that Jason Tatum needs to figure it out. Why are you saying that publicly? Obviously, Jason Tatum is in some sense sensitive. Wouldn't you agree? He was mad the other day about being labeled a superstar. He said, when did I ever say I was a superstar? When did I tweet that? Because people are debating whether or not he's a superstar. He is sensitive to this type of stuff. Last night after the game, he said, we're not trying to do this on purpose. Clearly, he is sensitive to this type of stuff. You know him as your teammate. Why are you going out there publicly and saying Jason needs to figure it out? Not once, not twice, three times he said that he has to figure it out. That's not what you should be saying publicly. What he should be saying publicly is we're confident he's one of the best players in the world. We're going to get him going, or he's going to get going. Not he needs to figure it out. I hated that from Marcus Smart. And it feels like this guy always has something to say. That's just a dumb thing to say after the game. Now, we can all agree he's right. Nobody watched Tatum last night and didn't come to the same conclusion. Like, geez, this guy's got to figure it out. He's supposed to be the best player on the team, and he has not showed up for the NBA Finals the way that we wanted him to show up. But as his teammate, you don't go up there to the podium last night and throw him under the bus and say, Jason Tatum needs to figure it out. You don't do that. You don't. The only guy that could maybe get away with that is the coach, Ime Udoka, because he doesn't care. He just says that crap about everybody. So that's fine if he wants to say that. But with Marcus, you can't do that. You can't say that after the game, especially considering who the player is. Jason Tatum does not respond to that type of stuff. In fact, he gets mad. We have seen it. And look, you can critique Tatum's personality, if you will, for that. But one of your teammates should not be saying that after the game. Like, think about that. Can you imagine if Steph Curry had a bad game and he played poorly and then up to the podium? Like, who's the third best player on the Warriors right now? Probably Klay Thompson. Is Klay Thompson the second best player? Let's say Klay Thompson. No, I guess let's say Draymond Green. Draymond Green goes up to the podium and says, yeah, Steph's got to figure it out. You think he wants him to say that? I mean, come on, man. Like that, you just should not be saying things like that, right? I mean, come on. Or Mike Evans. How about if Mike Evans is like, yeah, after Brady throws three picks in a game, yeah, Tom's just got to figure it out. He's got to figure it out. Like, you don't say that about your best player. You don't do that. As Marcus Smart's a great defensive player. He's really important to this team's success, but he should not be talking like that after the game publicly. If he wants to say crap to Tatum behind closed doors, I don't care. But that's something that you don't say publicly. 617-779-7937, the number. Let's get to Russ. He's in Connecticut. Russ, what's up, man?
How you doing, Brian? Let me take you off speaker.
All right.
I got a question for you with regard to turnovers and your 52 points. And I want to say this. I listen to you all the time. Your stats are right on. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Russ.
Watching the game last night, I noticed late in the fourth quarter that our offense was spread out, okay? Every rebound, there was three, four black jerseys under the boards, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Basketball 101, you know, the clock's down to 5 seconds. Why are you standing outside when you should be crashing the boards?
That's happening. Interesting.
Because they did that, Russ.
They did that in the other game. In game three, they clobbered the Warriors on the offensive glass. What do they have in that game? 15 offensive rebounds, better than the best team in the NBA, which was the Memphis Grizzlies at 14.1. Now, part of that, I would guess, Russ, is the fact that Robert Williams came out of that game, which is a concern going forward in terms of he looked to be hobbled, and he was a difference maker in the first half, and he was great in the game on what was that Wednesday night. So maybe that's part of the equation, the calculus, if you will. But that is true, Russ. They were crashing the boards, and they made an effort to impose their size on the Warriors in game three. They didn't do that in game four. It's a fair point.
Well, you know, the thing that bothers me, and I'm watching TV, and it's late in the game. You know, we're up at 5 minutes and every one of those offensive rebounds turned to points. And what I'm asking you is the turnovers that you talked about are 52 points. How many of those rebounds turn into points? It just magnifies it all. That's all I'm saying. And I'm going to finish with one thing. The peanut butter whiskey.
Oh, yeah.
Three hits of that. Be careful, man. Be careful.
Oh, it's strong,
and
huh?
It's more like a liqueur. It's good, okay? But three good hits of that, you'll feel it. That's all I'm saying.
All right. Hey, and Russ, before I let you go, let me tell you this. So you were asking about those rebounds. So the Warriors had 19 second chance points. So off their offensive rebounds, they had 19 points.
Right.
So that's a big number.
That's the
Celtics,
a winner, isn't it?
Yeah, well, the Celtics, and I appreciate the call, Russ. If you look at it, it was totally opposite of that in game three when the Celtics had 22 second chance points, the Warriors had 11. In this game last night, it was the Warriors that had 19 second chance points and the Celtics had 12. So it completely flipped from the previous game. 617-779-7937, the number. Let's get to Dan. Dan is in Manchester. Dan, what's up, man?
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for having me on.
Sure.
So I want to ask a simple question that I think we all know the answer to.
Okay.
When the Celtics are in a tight game down the stretch, how much confidence do we have in Jason Tatum single-handedly taking us to the promised land, right? And if we're honest, if he tries to do it himself, 9 times out of 10, we lose that game. The 1 time out of 10 was game 6 against the Bucks, which was awesome. but we haven't seen it since, and we didn't really see it before. I don't know. I think he's disappearing, and someone of his caliber, if we're going to win the finals, like, we need that kind of performance again to bail us out when no one else is having it. Like, that's what he can give to this team.
Right, and it's not just him, Dan. It's the team in general. If you look at it during the regular season, they were 13-22 in clutch games, meaning the score is within 5 points with 5 minutes or less left in the game. That was 29th in terms of winning percentage in the NBA. Quite frankly, they win a couple of more of those games. They're the number one seed in the East. They're not the number two seed in the East. And quite frankly, they should be hosting the NBA Finals if it isn't for blowing so many of those clutch games. So I don't think it's just a Tatum thing. I think it's a team thing in general where this was an issue throughout the regular season. Last night, I just thought they lost their mind at the end of the game. They stopped running any good offense whatsoever, and they were just chucking up bad shots.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. And the problem is we see it so often, and it's so inconsistent that it's just frustrating as a fan. And you think that's not really a championship caliber team if you're down the stretch in a tight game, really kind of expecting to lose. Somehow we've made it this far, which is great, and I hope we win. But that has to be cleaned up in whatever is remaining of this season. Or if we come back for this chance again, like, they need to clean up these tight game. I don't know what it is, a mental thing, not playing the game that got them the big lead that they always have at the beginning and somehow seem to lose. It's especially frustrating. And I only say that Tatum, I think that the whole team definitely bears responsibility, but a lot of that offense now is flowing through Tatum. And I think the onus is on him to really step up, get the team going, and not sort of completely wither away as the time is running out in the game.
Yeah, and fair enough, Dan. I appreciate the call. And I just look at Tatum in terms of this series. I'm not asking him to be as good as Steph Curry. He just needs to be where he was against Jimmy Butler, where he was against Giannis Antetokounmpo, because I would argue that both those guys were better than Tatum in terms of the totality of those series. Now, you could argue Tatum was better than Butler because Butler had a couple of stinkers in that series. Tatum, of course, wins the MVP of the series in general, the Larry Bird Award, the first ever. You can make that argument, but the point is, it's close. I would say Butler, if you're going to argue Tatum, I'm not going to go nuts about it. Giannis was better than him, but he was pretty close to Giannis, and of course, he outplayed Kevin Durant. In this series, the problem I have with Tatum is it's not close. Their superstar has been way better than Tatum. It's not even remotely close, and that's part of the calculus in terms of the issue I have in this is just the fact that he is not competing at the same level as Steph Curry. Not to say that he's not trying, so I probably phrased that poorly, but he's not close to where Curry's at in this series. Let's get to Philip in Connecticut. What's up, Philip?
Hey, thanks for having me on the show.
Yeah, what's up, man?
How's it going? I think Jaylen Brown is, you know, our number one guy, you know, for the remainder of the series, you know, just from what I've seen so far. He seems to be able to hit those clutch shots at a much better consistency. And, you know, my problem with Jason Tatum throughout the entire playoffs is, like, one game he's playing so well, and then the other game's a dud. And, you know, that doesn't help us, and that doesn't make him a superstar. You know, I love Jason Tatum. I think he's going to be a superstar one day, but right now he's not a superstar, you know, in my mind. And I think, you know, he's got to stay under the hoop, keep driving, keep getting rebounds, and, you know, that's how he's going to help us win this series. And I think Jaylen Brown is a lot more confident than him right now, and his performance is a lot more, you know, sustainable. You know, and then the other point I wanted to bring up is, you know, I think we got to start conceding the two-point shot a little bit more. I think we need to, you know, hedge a lot more on the three-point shot. You know, Al Horford does a good job of that, but I think we need to over-hedge and, you know, force Curry to drive and potentially give up a two-point shot in some situations, and that's kind of what I wanted to say. Thanks.
Yeah, it's a fair point, Philip. I appreciate the call. I mean, what they're doing with Curry right now is, I don't know how you cover this guy, because right now in this series, he is now 20 of 40 on pull-up threes. Pretty easy to do the math on that. That's 50%. He shot 37.4% on pull-up threes during the regular season. He's at 50 in the postseason. 49 players this season attempted at least 150 pull-up threes. Just six were north of 40%. Curry shooting 50% on pull-up threes. Only six players this season were north of 40% on pull-up threes. So it is a fair point that he brings up in terms of just trying to get him off the three-point line. And it just feels like they are going after Al Horford in terms of these matchups. And one of the things they did last night with both Klay and Steph Curry is when they were off the ball, they were using whoever Al was covering as the screener, which gave those guys an advantage. So they've got to find some sort of happy medium between not blitzing them all the time, but they've got to switch up their coverages. They got to try to throw Steph Curry off a little bit. I wouldn't mind just for like a quarter saying, you know what, screw it. Let's just blitz them for an entire quarter and make them play 4-on-3. Let's just make them play that way for a little bit. Now, the Warriors historically have been very good when they play 4-on-3, when you just get the ball out of Curry's hands. But at this point, you may want to try anything you possibly can to cool this guy down, because it doesn't seem like anything you've done strategically, tactically is working. This guy's hitting incredibly difficult shots. He's making guys look like idiots defensively, where idiots is a strong word, but he's making guys look like they have no business covering him. He is destroying the best defense in the NBA. And even when Butler and Giannis were doing their thing, they weren't destroyed. Like, it was hard, right? Giannis's points were hard. He was driving to the hoop. It was physical. Same thing could be said about Jimmy Butler. With Steph Curry, it feels like, is making it look easy. Like, you watch Jimmy Butler and Giannis in terms of the body language. They look tired. They look gassed. Steph Curry, like, his fitness level is absolutely phenomenal, but it looks too easy for him. And he is not hitting easy shots. Now, in game one, there was a lot of easy shots, but in a lot of these games, it's not easy shots. Right now, he's hit 25 threes in this series. His NBA record in terms of the finals, in terms of three-pointers made, is 32. He's already hit 25, and we're four games in. Let's get to Jim. He's in Rhode Island. What's up, Jim?
Hey, how are you?
Good.
The problem I have with Tatum is, I don't know if he's hurt or not, but I would like to see Tatum not handle the ball as much. Try to get him some open looks. Like you said, he's shooting pretty good from three-point land. It's when he tries to drive and get to the basket that they're beating him up, and he can't finish. Now, I don't know if that has to do with his shoulder. I have no idea. But I would like to see him to get off the ball more,
yeah.
Have someone else handle the ball, and get him more open looks.
I'm with you on that, Jim.
And
I would like
really
to
try that.
Yeah. Well, they did a little bit last night, Jim. I will say that. Ime Udoka did that in the first quarter with both him and Jaylen Brown, where he tried to get a switch off the ball to get him on a weaker defender. They did make an effort to try to do that, but it's something they could certainly do more, because it does feel like right now, Jim, that there's a lot on Tatum's plate. They're basically making him the primary playmaker. Basically, he is playing point guard for this team, and he's got a burden, a load in terms of the scoring as well. So maybe it would help to get him off ball a little bit more. I'm with you on that.
Listen, if he just cut down his turnovers, I think it would improve the team right away. And the other thing is, if Marcus and White are going to take 30 shots in a game, that's not our best option. We got here to where we are playing team ball. Tatum doesn't have to score 35 a night. He has to be more effective with the ball, less turnovers, get his 20s, but get the whole team involved. And it's not just on Tatum.
Yeah.
Ball movement is how this team won all those games this year.
Yeah.
Getting open looks for everybody. It seems like some nights they just don't do that.
Yeah. No, I agree with you, Jim, and I appreciate the phone call. This offense can certainly get static. But the other thing I would just mention, too, in terms of Smart, he's obviously had an outstanding season. When they basically made him the point guard, this team took off because of the fact that that made them better defensively, that their point guard was now 6'4". So they're basically bigger than every other team at every position, it seems like, right? Tatum at the 3, Jaylen at the 2, Smart at the 1, and then, of course, you get the two bigs in Horford and Robert Williams. So, and the other move was, of course, taking Robert Williams off the big and making him that roamer free safety. But one thing about Marcus Smart, we have seen Bubble Smart show up a couple of times in this postseason. Remember in the bubble when he took 20 shots in an elimination game? We've seen this guy show up a couple of times. And the issue with Smart is, it does feel like at times, as great as he is, he does have a hero complex. He has a hero complex where it's almost like he's trying to save the game late. Now, some of those times he'll hit big shots and all that. Like, I give him credit, he's got the balls to take those shots. But sometimes he's just got to realize he should not be the guy taking the shot at the end of the game. 617-779-7937, the number. Let's get to Troy. He's in Waltham. What up, Troy?
Hey, dude, what's going on? Hell of a game last night. Too bad that we lost, but I have supreme confidence that we are going to take this series. When I look at Steph Curry, he had his game. I look at Draymond Green, he had his game. I look at Klay Thompson, he had his game. Who else do they really have? I mean, they got Wiggins. That might get one more. You know what I'm saying? But even in the game that Klay Thompson had, we beat him. Now, these guys typically are streaky. I mean, like, you know, even Steph Curry, he only has 56 40-point games, which isn't, like, an only situation. But if you really calculate it out, divide that by the games he's played, only 5% of the games that he's played, he scored over 40 points. So, I mean, the likelihood of him doing and going off like that again is not very likely. I mean, he averages.
But I mean, Troy, he is going off in like pretty much every game in the series. It's not like it's one game that he's had a good game.
No, I understand that. I do, and to give
he's got
to 60. The guy,
I think
mean,
he's got
he's
68
got, he's
points.
Got a hell of a shot.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's got 68 more points than any other player on the Warriors. He has 34 points, 29 points, 31 points, and 43 points. And the 29 points would have been larger, but he didn't play in the fourth quarter.
Right.
I mean, the guy's shooting 49% from the field and 49% from three. So I don't think to say, like, oh, he had his game, he's not going to do it again. He can have that same impact even if he doesn't have 43.
Yeah, but I just think that, you know, he doesn't have any other supporting cast helping him to accomplish the championship fully.
Troy, is your point that the Celtics, the rest of the team, is better than the supporting cast for the Warriors? I would agree with you on that, if that's your point.
That, and I just have a lot of confidence that they're going to go in there and win the next game, and then they're going to tie it. They're going to, they're going to clean it up at home, and they're going to bring home the championship. I just don't see it any other way.
All right, Troy, appreciate the call, my friend. I was there yesterday. It just... You lose confidence as this thing goes on, because the Celtics team, every time they win a game, it feels like they can't show up the following game. I mean, if you really look at this team throughout the postseason, after wins, they're now 6-7. They have been outscored by 1 point, 1,456 to 1,457. So they've been outscored by 1 point. They're 6-7. And remember, three of those wins of the six came against the Brooklyn Nets, who they swept. So in terms of their last three series, they are now 3-7 after wins. They just do not handle prosperity well for whatever reason. They can't do it. Let's get to Randy in New York. Randy, what's up, man?
Brian, how are you?
Good.
Good. Actually, I'm in Rhode Island. I just have a New York area code. But a couple of things. So indulge me if you will. I'm almost 64 years old, so I've been a Celtics fan basically 56 years of my life, and I've been through all of the greats and all the championships. A couple of things about this team. Right now, anyone that feels comfortable, like the last gentleman that we're going to close this out, God bless them. This is the most confounding team I can ever remember, the Celtics. Every time you think they're done or in holding the cards, they blow the opportunity like they did last night, and then they show up and win on the road completely against all reasoning. So I don't know what to expect Monday night.
Yeah, it's tough to predict with this team. Like, I felt like I had a beat on them after that game three. I felt like, okay, the Warriors, you're kind of in their head. They're complaining about the crowd. You really imposed your size on them. And then last night, they kill you on the offensive glass. You go back to turning the ball over left and right. So I'm with you, Randy. I have no idea what Celtics team is going to show up Monday night. They're great after losses, maddening. But eventually they're going to burn themselves.
Yeah, it's maddening. And then as to Tatum, and this is not an indictment of him. He's a great kid. He seems like a wonderful dad, a good person. Mm-hmm. I just don't think he's wired to take games over. Steph Curry is Steph Curry. He's on a whole different level. And the last gentleman said you can't expect him to keep shooting like this. Why not? I mean, he's proven himself time and time again. Jason has to want to take the game over. He was shying away from the ball in the fourth quarter last night. And Marcus, being Marcus, the Marcus that drives us all crazy, I give him credit for having the stones to take the shots he did. He's going to make some of them. He's going to miss most of them. Derek White, the way he's played, I don't have a problem with his taking threes. But Jason has to want the ball. He's got to impose his will from the jump on Monday night, or this team really has no chance, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But then again, the way they played, who knows?
I know. It's unbelievable, Randy. I appreciate the call, my friend. I feel like Randy speaks for a lot of Celtics fans. You just don't know from a game-to-game basis. And that's what this team has been incredibly fun to watch, because of the defense they play, some of the unbelievable wins they had, especially like you think about game six against Milwaukee. And just like going back to the start of the postseason, that Nets series was awesome where they beat Kyrie and Kevin Durant. But for a great team, they have some of the worst losses you will ever. This team is two wins away from a championship, and they have had some of the worst losses you will see. 617-779-7937, the number. Brian Barrett with you. We will get to one other issue from the Celtics game last night coming up next here in EEI.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Modelo is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Now, more of the Brian Barrett Show on WEEI.
All right, rough one for the Celtics over at the Garden last night as they lost a golden opportunity to take a 3-1 series lead against the Warriors. So now they got to go back to San Francisco and try to win a game five. And look, they've done it before. They've been great on the road. I don't know why they cannot win games at home. Obviously, the crowds have been crazy. Last night's crowd was outstanding. But it just feels like they can't win at home. They can't win after a previous victory. And they do not, they cannot go two games in a row without having a large amount of turnovers. It just happens. Every other game, they turn the ball over like crazy. And then they talk about it after the game. They fix it in the next game. And then they come back the game after that and they turn it over again. It's like a cycle over, over, and over again this postseason. 617-779-7937, the number. Oh, boy. Here he is. David in Florida has made an appearance tonight. David, how are you?
Brian, good afternoon.
Thank you, David.
I was going to welcome. I was going to suggest, if it's not too late, that they consider trading Tatum right now. Maybe they could package him with my buddy Devers and get to another city, you know, who could they could get some
Yeah, David, that sounds like a great idea. Trade arguably the MVP in the American League this year and trade a guy that's two wins away from a championship. Makes sense.
Absolutely.
Like the idea. Yeah.
Yeah,
totally.
But, you know, since the trading deadline has passed, I mean, in all seriousness.
Hey, David, come on. I mean, come on. The guy's in the NBA Finals, and you're talking about it's unfortunate the Celtics have him and the Red Sox have Devers. Come on. You can't actually believe
kidding,
that.
Brian.
Okay, all right, all right, all right.
I was kidding.
Okay, well,
Brian,
I never know with you, man. I never know with you.
Jeepers creepers.
Okay, get to your point, David.
Well, what they need to be coached like they're a college team, and I mean that sincerely. I mean they need the if you miss two threes in a row, your next one has to be a layup or something close to that. More passing before. I mean, they need, and I don't know what.
What are you saying? Like three passes, four passes before a shot or something, David?
I'm not going to go as far as saying that because that's ridiculous. But they need to somehow. I don't know how much time they spend on off days watching video.
A lot.
That's a good point. I mean, they say they do, but do they? And I mean, because there's no way.
Wait, hold on, David. Hold on, David. You actually think they're not watching video on their off days?
I don't know.
I can tell you they do. That's a ridiculous take.
It's not a ridiculous take.
No, that's a ridiculous take. You don't think these guys are watching film? You don't think the coaches
are
showing?
You're not in the locker room. You're not in the locker room.
David, they talk about it after every game that they're going to go back. So you think they're not watching? You don't think they're watching any film, David? Come on.
If they don't care about, no, I don't. They don't care about that. They don't spend enough time. They don't prioritize the little things. Missing foul shots.
Yeah, the foul shots. I don't know what's going on with Tatum at the line.
Turnovers, not just because they're bad passes, but because they don't look at the person they're passing to. You learn that at summer camp when you go to basketball camps. You learn that in rec league. But they just think they're so damn good that they don't have to do the little things. They think they've always been the best player on their team growing up, and if they miss the foul shot, so what? They come down.
Yeah, well,
Well, David, you're actually hurting your own point, because you could say that about every team in the NBA, that those guys are the best player on their team growing up. So you're actually damaging your own point that wasn't bad.
I'm not damaging my own point.
Yeah, you are. Let's quit there, David, because you actually, shockingly, you made some decent points in one part of your call. You made some good points. Overall, not a lot of good points, but then you damaged your own good points. So let's stop there for today. Let's get to Joey's in a car. What's up, Joe?
What's up, Brian? Let me tell you something, man.
All right.
Everybody was already talking about Parade, you know, even our boy, our legend commentator there, the pregame, you know, quote, he said the P word, ready for the P word. There ain't going to be no Parade, and I'm going to tell you why. If I hear that Jason Tatum is a superstar, I'm going to gag and I'm going to throw up, because that guy, superstars, he's not even the MVP of these playoffs, man. Jaylen Brown has been the MVP. Jason Tatum is too worried about getting called like a little baby, flip-flopping, oh, foul, it's going to foul every time he goes to the hoop.
Joe, I appreciate the call. You got a bad phone line. I don't like the fact that Tatum continues to do it. I've tried to hold off on criticizing him for it, but it's damaging the team. I mean, there was one play in the series against the Bucks, and it's happened multiple times, but I remember this one vividly. He's complaining to the official after he scores, doesn't get an and-one call. He's complaining to the official, and then Wes Matthews, his guy that he's supposed to be covering, running down the court, gets a wide-open three. That crap's annoying to me. Let's get to Jude. What's up, Jude?
Hey, what's up, guys?
How you doing?
Good. I think the biggest problem the Celtics have, I mean, one of the problems the Celtics have in the fourth quarter, I know people are botching Jason Tatum, but he doesn't have a point guard. The thing, when you reach a fourth quarter, you have a point guard that can take the ball and say, okay, we're going to run that set, we're going to run that play, to kind of calm everybody down and see what the favorite matchup is. So it's either Jason Tatum does it himself, or Jaylen Brown does it himself, or Marcus Smart jack up, you know, a crazy three. He get in and get in. He does it, he does it. And I think Ume Udoka should be calling a timeout when they were up by five, calm everybody down and say, listen, guys, it's 5 minutes to go. We're up by five. No crazy turnovers, no crazy passes. Just run some sets and let's take it home.
Jude, I'm with you, and I appreciate the call. I'm with you that they should be able to get and generate easier shots at the end of the game, because they do it throughout the game. I don't know why at the end of the game last night they just lost their damn mind. It was like, it wasn't even as if they were running anything at the end of the game. They just lost their damn mind. It was shocking and aggravating to watch all at the same time. And you never felt like those shots were going in. Like, Horford completely pulled the string on history. All right, thanks to Stiz for producing. I'll be back with you tomorrow at 11 a.m. until 3 o'clock, and I'll be back tonight at 9 for Red Sox pregame. Have a great night, everybody. Be safe and be well.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.